So just looking around the room here, I just hope you guys, do you guys know what October 31st is? You know what this Monday is? Anybody? No. It's the Protestant Reformation. It's 499 years ago, a guy by the name of Martin Luther, he declared, just really, if I could boil it down, is this, that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works. And that is the greatest news imaginable, that we don't have to work to earn favor with God, but rather we receive it as a gift from God. So maybe this Monday, I hope a lot of you get some good stuff. Kit Kats and all that stuff is fantastic. But never forget the greatest thing that you ever received is the grace of God. And so, Jesus, we thank you just for the gift of grace. Lord, may this be a house of grace. God, as men and women enter this space, God, they would sense your good pleasure. Lord, they would rest in your very presence. And so we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You can be seated. I just want to say hey to everybody out there in our Periscope viewers, and we love you. We're praying for you, and we want to know how we can serve you. So if you ever want to email us, you can just email us at, or just go to our website, everynationnj.org. So here's what I want to do. I want to, real quickly, are we going to dismiss? So we're going to dismiss our youth. So if you're middle school to high school age, you can go with Katama, our wonderful youth leader. And Katama, so grateful for you as always. And as well, how many know it's a big day? You can feel it, like trunk or treat's happening today, all right? And so just so you know, you need to instill in your children early that the pastor gets a tenth of all the candy they receive today, okay? Start them early, okay? I have one announcement is this, is I just want to remind the men. I think we've done a poor job of kind of like getting word out, but November 5th, in Midtown Manhattan, we're going to have a one-day men's retreat. It's from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock. We'll provide a light breakfast and a lunch. Pastor Russ Austin is going to be in. This guy is a powerhouse in the faith. Unbelievably powerful testimony. I promise you, men, that you will be changed. And so hopefully you can make it there. If you're having a hard time with transportation, give myself or Pastor Shino a call. We're gonna bomb over the river together. So maybe we can just carpool it up. So men, that's this coming Saturday. So I think that's everything. And so let's get right into the Word. We're actually starting a new series. No, Jimmy just told me. I forgot one more thing. Any first-time guests here this morning? Forgive me for being so rude. I got to see some new. Just go ahead and keep your hand raised, and we got just a gift we want to give to you. That there's a, and we're allowed to clap too. but inside of there, what you'll see is there's a card in there that you can redeem at the Connect table, and you can get a gift or whatever. So that's that. So glad to have everybody. So we're starting a new series that we're calling Blessed. I think Clark, do we have the slide? Really excited about this series. And for a number of reasons, I'm both excited and a little bit nervous. And here's the reason why, is because your pastor, I stand before you as a recovering prosperity gospel guy. And so I'll say this, is that early on in my Christian faith, you know, I heard certain preachers, at least this is how I heard them speak, is like, man, if I could just find the right combination of scriptures to put together, it would be like kind of a heavenly pin number, and I could open up the windows of heaven, and God's going to pour out riches on me, success, all this kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying that they said that, but that's the way I heard it, okay? And so that was going on. And then sometimes I thought, man, if I could just say a certain prosperity scripture enough times, it would be like a Harry Potter spell, and God once again would open up the windows of heaven. And so kind of that was going on until when I had this epiphany. I'm like, you know what? My quiet times and my time in God's word and in prayer was really about seeing how much stuff I could get from him and very little of him. And so, but that did something not real healthy. That swung me all the way on the other side of the pendulum, that God had suddenly become this angry strength coach or drill sergeant who is just, come on, suck it up, be strong. I'm trying to teach you something through all this. Don't be a wimp. And so you know what happened through all that is suddenly that I had no room, no space in my heart for the goodness of God. Because here's what you need to hear this morning. God is a good God. We've called this series Blessed. We've actually taken it from the book The Blessed Life by a guy, Robert Morris is his name. And guess what? God is a God who blesses. You know that Genesis 1:28, it talks about the creation of humanity. God created the man and the woman in his image and in his likeness. And you know the very first thing God does, Genesis 1:28, it says God blessed them. Do you know the first two commands of Almighty God are this? He says this, be fruitful and multiply, right? That is the goodness of who God is. And so my hope is, as this pastoral team, our hope is that you would indeed understand that God's a God who blesses. But you would spend your time, your energy, your affections chasing after the blesser and not after the blessing. And so that's our hope. And so, Jesus, I pray you give us grace. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here's a question. I don't know if you've thought about it. I really hadn't thought about it too much. So if God wants you to have a blessed life, what does that look like? Like, have you ever thought about it? So what does that mean for you? Does that mean like the blessed life for you is you're stupid rich, right? Just like, I mean, is that maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's physical health or physical beauty. Maybe that's kind of where that would be a blessed life for you. Or some of us, it's power, success. I want to be somebody, right? And so I'm not saying that those things are intrinsically wrong, and we'll talk about that. But today we're gonna share a story about a guy who was all three of those. I mean, he was rich, he was young and strong, and he was a ruler. He was successful. He was powerful. And so this is all these things that really humanity is chasing after. Here's a guy who gets it all, and yet here's what we're going to find. He's lacking. That something is missing in the equation, so much so that he's going to come and he's going to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, hey, this isn't working out. What can I do to be saved, right? And so as he does that, so here's what I think he's displaying for all of us, I mentioned, for those of you that weren't here, like I was, 2 weeks ago, I was suffering in Paris. Maybe some of you got to see some of my posts on Facebook. I don't do Facebook, but I realize what it's for. It's to kind of rub it into everybody that you're having a great time. You know, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit, all right? And so we went that, and here's the amazing thing. I'd always wanted to see the Eiffel Tower. And so we got there, the Eiffel Tower was right outside of our window. And so I'm looking at this, and the first time I had what my daughter calls mascara face. Ladies? I was staring the whole time, right? And so I'm watching that. Guess what? After day one, could care less. Never looked at it. Wouldn't even look up or anything like that. Because why? The human heart, while it's something like that is stunning and breathtaking, where we lose interest very quickly. I referenced my 8-hour plane ride, and we had my good friend Sebastian, the 1.5-year-old who was crying the whole time. I think, did my mic go out? Yeah. So let's see, maybe the battery or something went out. Are we still there, Ariel? All right, here we go. I'm going to yell. Is that okay? Rather than do the mic, because I don't think that. Is everyone hearing me okay? You hear me okay in the back? All right, guys. It's good. I'm a loud talker. So we have this guy, Sebastian, who's crying the entire time on the flight. And my heart was going out for his dear mother, because this woman's trying everything. Here's Sebastian. Here's a toy. And that lasts for about 2 seconds. Ah, and then here's Sebastian. Here's some fruit. Here's some goldfish. Hey, Sebastian, you want to walk? Over and over, and nothing would satisfy but for a minute. And that is the human condition, that we're trying to find all these things to fill something. I think Bono said it best. He says this, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There's another great artist, you may have heard of him, St. Augustine. He said this, is that our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. And so that's what we want to do. And so, listen, I hope, I pray, my contention is throughout this entire series is this, that, man, I hope you're successful. I hope you get stupid rich and you tithe, okay? But at the end of the day, I don't want you to chase stuff. I want you to chase Almighty God. And so that's where we're going. And so here's the title of my message today, and it'd be this, is, are you blessable? Now, I don't know if that's a word. If not, we just made it up. Are you blessable? Ariel, are you coming to get this for the battery? Let's do this. Those of you on Periscope, pay no attention to this, all right? All right. And so are you blessable? And so here's what I would say is this, that, so time to be safe here. I don't work alone, okay? And so is this. At times, so my babies are grown now, 25, 23, and by the grace of God, they made it. Because at times, I got to admit, I wasn't a very good dad. It had more to do with stupidity than it was anything else, all right? Any other dads in here, do I get a witness, you know, type thing? And so I'll give you an example. So my daughter, I was going to say, I bet you Cassie's, she was probably about 14 months old. I had to get her a bottle. Once again, she was blowing up, human heart, right? And so I set her on my kitchen counter, and I proceeded to turn around and to get some stuff out of the, to which, in the background, I hear thud, followed by a huge cry. Now, thank by the grace of God, we were ghetto, and we had carpet in our kitchen, and so it saved her. But here's the thing is, so once again, see, not a dumb dad. So I'll get my other daughter now. My other daughter, I remember I had to, my wife was out of town, and so I had to dress my little three-year-old daughter. And so she was going to go to nursery school, and so I'm like, I got this. I'm like, baby, daddy's going to dress you. She's like, no, daddy, I want to dress myself. I'm like, okay, baby, go knock yourself out. And she comes out with a stunning dress on, shoes, the whole deal. I'm like, I am crushing this dad thing. No problem. This is easy. Goes to nursery school, pick her up. Then we're having a daddy-daughter lunch. And as we're sitting there, I realize something to this day that I'm horrified over. She got everything on but the most essential piece of clothing. And I'll just leave it there, okay? And so I thought, oh my gosh. I'm like, baby, do not tell your mommy, okay, that happened, right? And then we went to Aruba. Took my family there on vacation. You're like, oh, prosperity pastor, right? Paris and Aruba. Okay, yeah, pump the brakes a little bit. But how many would like to join me in planting the church in Aruba? All right, good, done. And so my kids were about, they were 7 and 9, and so my kids said, did you guys ever see them on the, they're selling all the stuff on the beach and doing that? And my kids saw the ladies that do the hair braids. Have you seen this? And so my girls are like, daddy, can we please get the braids? Can we please? And I'm like, no, we're good. And they start crying, daddy, we want the braids. I'm like, fine, we'll get you the braids. So they sit down, and I had no idea this was true. It hurts like crazy to get those braids done. And my girls are in the chair. And now I'm laughing at that part, right? Until I got the bill for it. And then it was like $120. And I'm like, right? Then I start crying. So it was all this stuff going on. But I decided I was going to be the fun dad. And so we rented scooters. And my wife and I are whipping through Aruba with our daughters on the back doing that. And so my daughter Elizabeth was just fascinated by this scooter. So I'm going to be the cool dad. I'm going to be the fun dad. Come on, baby. You can drive. So I put her on the front, and I let her grab the wheel. And so we're cruising down the beach, and suddenly there's a huge pothole in the middle of the road. My daughter, for whatever reason, gets superhuman strength. She guns it and turns the wheel sideways like this, to which we both go flying off the scooter and land, drop and roll a few times. And my sweet daughter, you know what she says? Daddy, are you okay? Is that sweet? Like, to this day, I'm like, oh, I can't believe she's worried about me, you know? But here's the thing, see? Bad dad. Dumb dad. See, she's not ready to be driving a scooter, but I'm going to, like an idiot, I'm going to let her do that, and we both got hurt from it. See, God's a good dad. God doesn't do that. And so it's not until you're ready to receive the blessing, because God says every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And so God's a good dad. He's not going to give you something before you're prepared to do it. Ever seen child TV stars, child music stars? What happened to them? They grow up, they're in rehab, or they got a reality TV show, right? And so God's not going to do that to us. Matthew chapter 5 is a familiar passage of scripture, and it's this, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and it's interesting. He begins that sermon, what's known as the Beatitudes. And what that is really, it's the posture of the human heart that enables us to receive the blessing of God. And so what you'll find is each and every one of the Beatitudes, it shows the heart of humanity that's chasing after God and submitted to God. So it'll say this, blessed are the poor in spirit. What that means is this, that means, God, I'm helpless, I'm broke without you. I need you, so I'm going to chase after you. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. It reveals the fact that you've received and tasted the mercy of Almighty God, therefore you freely give it to other people. And on it goes throughout the Beatitudes. And so you have to ask yourself this morning, do you have a heart positioned to be blessable? And so that's where we want to get to. And before you say, yes, Pastor, and amen, here's what you got to know. The scripture would say this, Jeremiah 17:9 says this, that the heart, it's deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? It's like, so God's going to give us some tools in order to help us understand the true condition of our heart. And so I've just called this heart monitors. And there's three things, and they all start with M. And so you should be impressed with that as your pastor. And so the three things God's going to give us is this. He's going to say that our mouth, that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. And so it's going to reveal something about our heart. Also, the Mosaic Law, or the Ten Commandments. That 10 is the number of testing. And so 10 commands are given to test or reveal what's actually in our heart. And then lastly is our money. That it says this, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be as well. And so let's check this out. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading verses 17 through 18. And this is Jesus encountering this rich young ruler. And it says this, that as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And here's Jesus had an odd response. He says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. And so let's see the clues of what's going on in this young rich man's heart by the words that he spoke. And so notice this, that it says that only God is good. Jesus, and so we need to start there. That Jesus says, hey, only God is good. And my question to you, do you believe that God is good? Like, listen, I know, like there's a little bit of, I know I have to say that because he's Almighty God and he might kill me if I say he's not good. But what's actually in your heart? Or is God good just to other people? Or is God good? He's able, but he probably won't do it for me. And so you got to get that out. Like Jesus says, he's only God Almighty is good. And did you know this? Bill Gates, the wealthiest man on the planet, do you know that he's given away $28 billion, with a B, dollars? $28 billion. But do you know who he hasn't given that money away to? Apple, right? He's not going to give it away to his enemy or his competitors. Yet God, it says God loves his enemies. Do you know there's people that hate God and they're healthy, they're good looking, they got money, and that's, what is that? Nothing but the very goodness of God. And so if God loves his enemies that way, how much more is he going to love his kids? All right? And so Jesus, he wants to lay out some things. And let me show you this. So look at this rich man's words. So he's going to say this, good teacher. He says that to Jesus. So here's what that reveals. He thinks Jesus is just a teacher and not God. And so that's going to be insufficient. And so something's revealed there. It reveals this too, that he thinks he uses the word good. And it's interesting, in the Greek, you know that there's several words for the word good. And this is the word agathos. It's generic. It means morally good, okay? But there's another word, kalos, in the Greek. And that means moral goodness with beauty. That there's something spectacular about it. In fact, Jesus will say in the Gospel of John, I am the kalos shepherd. I am the good, the spectacular shepherd. And so we see some things about this rich ruler's view of Jesus. You're just kind of an okay teacher guy. And he's got a low view of goodness. which I think really predominantly in the United States of America, our view of good is increasingly decreasing. I set before you the political race this year, okay? It's the bar is increasingly being lowered. And so here's what we tend to do here. I'm a good guy, or I'm a good girl. And here's what you do. It's like, hey, because I don't swear too much, right? Or I go to church sometimes. And so that's kind of the bar for you. Or here's what we'll do is we'll surround ourselves or find other people around us who are just kind of like morons or wicked, and then we'll go, see, I'm not like that guy. You're like the Duff. You guys remember that movie, The Duff? It was a movie out. Duff stands for Designated Ugly Fat Friend. And so it's the person you have with you in order so that you feel good about you. And don't send me an email. I didn't make that up. I'm just quoting a movie thing, okay? We reveal some things. We see some stuff about the rich man's heart. Let's look at now how Jesus is going to adjust to him or help him to see his heart is not good. And so he's going to throw the commands at him, the law of God, the Mosaic law. Look at this, verses 19 to 20. Jesus says this, know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Get his response. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy, right? I'm crushing it, Jesus. Done it. Been there. Bang. And so here's what I see this guy's doing. See, he does what a lot of us do. We see the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is kind of like the spiritual ladder that we're going to climb up. And that's not what the law is designed to do. It's designed to reveal the holiness of God. And now we weigh that against our heart, and it reveals how we measure up. It needs to weigh on it and sit on us. And so it's like an MRI or an X-ray. It reveals what's wrong or what's opposite God in our hearts. And so I went to I used to work Christian hockey schools. Who knew there was such a thing, right? And so it was actually in Gordon College in Massachusetts. And so I'd work these Christian hockey schools, and we would stay in the ghetto dorms, like just nasty dorms. And then it's all a bunch of boys staying there, right? And so it just smelled like boy. Moms, boys have a smell, do they not? Right? Amen. And so that was kind of going on. Well, my roommate, I won't say his name because he might be periscoping or podcasting, but I walked into our room that we were sharing with one another, and suddenly the smell of boy was overpowered by the stank of feet. Like, you know, like I'm talking that corn chip smell. They're like, what in the world? Is that too much for the morning? I apologize for that one. But yeah, it's this kind of over smelling, like, what is that? And so I'm like, how am I going to survive with this guy the whole time? I'm like, this dude is funky. So I remember he left the room, and I'm like, thank God for that. And I remember getting my Nike flip-flops out, and I just happened to get my flip-flop and waved it by my face. And I'm like, that smells eerily familiar. Oh, it was my flip-flop. Who knew flip-flops could smell? And so I realized the stank was me, all right? And so here's what you need to realize. See, the law, the Ten Commandments, are to reveal to us the stank. It's you. It's me. That it reveals that we don't measure up to the perfection that God asks of us. And so listen, there's two types of stank in this room today. I'm gonna show. One is this. There's self-righteousness. Like, there's that person in here where you've kind of jumped over a few moral hurdles, and now you, like the rich young ruler, smoking it, Jesus, good, ready for heaven, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me, all right? And that's kind of like what you think. But here, see, you use the commandments like the Discover card. Like you're kind of earning reward points, and you hope that you get enough mileage so you get heaven. And here's the only problem is, do you notice too that you never have enough rewards for anything? And the same is true in the kingdom of God. Because if that's your standard you're going to use, you're going to be found lacking, insufficient funds. And so what you need to do is, see, what that should do as the law weighs on you and you find out you don't have what it takes, it should drop you to the feet of Jesus and saying, I need a Savior. And there's a second kind of stank in here, and that's this, is spiritually lazy people. Spiritually lazy people. And so this is the person who prayed a prayer. Maybe one Sunday they heard a powerful sermon like this one, and you prayed a prayer to receive Jesus, and you're like, bam, got eternity taken care of, got fire insurance, and now God has had no impact on your life ever since. And so I'm doing a wedding in 2 weeks, and I remember it brought me back to, I did a wedding in Connecticut about 2 years ago, and for the record, you guys know hockey players, we have no teeth, okay? And so I had my teeth fell out, and I had to go perform a wedding. And so I had to go do the rehearsal, no front teeth. And so the bride is like, oh my gosh, what are you gonna, and I'm like, I promise you, I'm gonna have my teeth in by then, right? So I'm trying to get these partial things made up and get in there. And so I'm like, please God, let this happen. And so sure enough, I got it in. We did the ceremony, it was fantastic. And afterwards, the people just rolled around to the back, and there was kind of a bar area before dinner started. And so I was just kind of hanging around, and the guys found out that I was a hockey player, and some guys started to gather around. They're telling hockey stories and this. But then one of the guys was like, hey, you know what, I'm a spiritual guy. He says, I consider myself a Christian. He goes, and then just very braggadociously, I don't read my Bible, go to church, and then here's the money line, but God knows my heart. And everybody around was like, yeah, you know? And I just thought, man, that is so, I so wanted to go, he does know your heart. It's wicked, in need of a Savior. I didn't say that, but I thought it. And so here's what we need to do. Much like the rich young ruler, Jesus is throwing out the commands of God that this rich young ruler might let him sit upon his heart, that he might examine, hey, what's really going on the inside of me? Though I'm doing the right things on the outside, what are the thoughts that I'm thinking about other people? What are the intentions? What are the things that I really love versus the things I say I love? Okay, and so this is what we need to do. You know what I tend to do? I encourage you to do this. Pray the Ten Commandments. It's painful, awful, and wonderful all at once that you begin to say, God, Lord, let there be no other gods before you. And you start to examine your heart. God, do I love preaching too much? Has it become an idol in my life? God, my kids, am I putting them before you in my life? And on it can go. And so I encourage you to do that. And then we go to this, Mark chapter 10, verses 21 through 27. He says this, and Jesus looked at him and loved him. And so here's what you need to see, is Jesus isn't trying to get him. He's not trying to do, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And here's what he said. He says, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. Like I hear that, I'm like, really, Jesus? That's tough, man. Like it wasn't like Peter where just go and leave your nets and come follow me. Oh, not the net, Jesus. You know, it's like, no, this is everything. And then he says, and you will have treasure in heaven. He says, then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? And Jesus says this. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So notice what Jesus goes to. He goes to money. Because it says this, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. And here's the thing. I hate talking about money as a pastor because I get filed with prosperity guy or something like that. But do you know that Jesus, he talked about money more than anything. There's 500 verses on prayer, 500 verses on faith, 2,000 on money. That's 16 of the 38 parables about money and goods. And here's the reality, though. When Jesus talks about it, it has nothing to do with money and everything to do with the condition of our heart. And so we have Clark, do we have the Ocean's 11 slide? So how many have seen this movie, Ocean's 11? They're doing a remake now where it's just like, it's all women this time. Go girls, whoop, whoop, right? And so so Ocean's 11, and so if you remember the story, George Clooney plays Danny Ocean. And he's kind of like this professional thief, just gets out of jail in New Jersey. Come on, New Jersey. And then, so he's he actually gets called in to do another job. Andy Garcia is this crooked kind of casino guy, and so what they're going to do is they're going to rob Andy Garcia's casinos. Oh, and did I mention that George Clooney's former love interest, Tess, played by Julia Roberts, is now Andy Garcia's girl? See, drama, storyline, right? And so what happens, and I don't want to wreck it for you, but I'm gonna, is that George Clooney robs Andy Garcia of all this money. After all this extravagant robbery, he pulls it off, and now Garcia doesn't have any of his money, and he's like, what's gonna happen? And Clooney, they have this face-off against one another, and Clooney he propositions Andy Garcia, and he says this: if I were to get you all your money back, would you give me Tess? And Andy Garcia thinks about it. He says, I would. Flash forward up to the security camera, and Julia Roberts watching the whole thing, and she's like, right? And so the next scene, they show the elevator open. She's walking out. Andy Garcia's trying to make up. She's like, not going to have it, right? And she just walks out on them, and everybody's going, that's right, girl, you go, you go. Don't do that. And why? Because nobody wants to be second best. It's like, I'm sure you want, like, your husband, like Nick and Brandy, they did their own vows. And would that be stunning, Brandy, if Nick's like, honey, baby, for better or worse, sickness and in health, but richer or poor, You know, I got to be about my money, girl, right? And Brandy ain't signing up for that, bro. And so neither is God, that he doesn't want to be second place to money. And the thing about money is this, is that it lends itself to mastery. That it's subtle and it slowly grabs a hold of our heart and our affections. So here, I'll prove it to you. Do you know that Jesus says in Luke 12, 15, he says this. He says, watch out. He says, beware of all kinds of greed. Now I look at that, and first of all, I'm like, there's different kinds of greed? Oh, no. And notice that Jesus says, hey, watch out. Be careful. Like, he doesn't say, hey, be careful, adultery's out there. He doesn't go, hey, be careful, there's demons out there. No, but he does say, be careful of all kinds of greed. And so here's what, I don't know, I haven't tested this on anybody, but has anybody ever found, if you go to the mall and you have money or a gift card, you go there, nothing looks good. I'm like, can't find anything, man. And then you go to the mall broke. Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. I can't believe I want, and everything is amazing. Right? What is that? That is greed and envy. I want what I cannot have. And so that shows you how subtle that thing is on the inside of us. And so I need to say this. Oh my gosh, it's late. Money is not evil. Money is not evil. And so, like, if you're living large in here, bless God. And once again, I hope you tithe. All right? But there's some very godly people that were extremely wealthy in your scriptures. Abraham, it says that the Philistines envied him, that they had Solomon. You know, Solomon, we figured this out. They said he's roughly worth $100 billion today. So that's present in the Bible. God bless you. Just make sure that you love God and love people and use money. And don't use God, use people and love money. And that's the difference. And then lastly, I got to close with this. Mark 10, verses 28 to 30. And let's close off this story. Says this, Peter said to him, being Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. And Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, wish that wasn't in there, and in this age to come, eternal life. And so here's what Jesus is basically saying. He said, there's no victims in the kingdom of God. That he's not some cosmic Bernie Madoff where you're going to invest with him and he's going to rip you off. That God is good. And he says, everything you sow in, you're going to receive, not just in this life, but also in the life to come. And so here's what I just want to beat this horse to death. What are you chasing? Are you chasing after Jesus or are you chasing after stuff? Because here's the thing, if you chase stuff, you'll be exhausted and maybe you'll get it, but I promise you this, it's not going to satisfy you for long. But if you chase the giver, oh, then you have the grace to be able to enjoy that which he freely gave to us. Let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you this morning. I thank you so much for this series. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who blesses. Lord, I pray for all those struggling, Lord, with that, that you would reveal to them, God, your great goodness, and that you know them, you haven't forgotten them. And Lord, I pray for us as a people, that we would work on our heart, that we'd be a blessable people, and that as we're blessed, we'll be a blessing to one another, to this community, to our nation. We thank you, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.